As I was watching TV, I saw an ad run, and it threw me off. Did you guys see this? I was totally confused.
Congratulations, your Royals are the 2014 World Series champions. Maybe your nearest Dick's Sporting Goods to celebrate your big win with all the hottest Kansas City gear. New merchandise arrives throughout the day, so come in now.
Somebody tells the people at Dick's Sporting Goods that Kansas City didn't win. I didn't realize. I guess they probably do that more often than not. They create a commercial for either one.
Well,
so like just in case,
there's a whole lot of Kansas City Royals World Series championship T-shirts right now on their way to
some third world country.
Maybe the Ivory Coast or somewhere.
That's what happens right next country. To the Patriots 19-0 jerseys shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right next.
They're still reading all those Dewey defeats Truman newspapers.
Yeah. No, well.
Didn't work out, did it?
No. Nah.
It's too soon.
Poor Dewey. Whatever happened to old Dewey?
Hey, two things. We got, you got Robert Englund coming up, but yeah. I want to talk to him about, after Robert Englund, the NFL, Jerry Jones continues.
Yeah, now that he already peed on my Arkansas Beats number one parade, that's fine, I guess. Yeah. So. Robert Englund coming up in just a minute. Also, Edward Ashoff at 11 o'clock. Coach Mike Anderson, we're going to hear from him today. Red-white game finished in spectacular fashion last night with another Michael Qualls dunk back for the victory.
He executed just like how Coach A drew it up.
He's like, hey, jump out of the gym and dunk it. That'll be awesome. I like that.
Is it on TV?
I'm going to hold this break.
No, but we got video of it.
You can go watch him in Valonia this coming Sunday. It's a benefit game at Valonia High School.
Come on, Bobby. I'd love to see you.
For real?
Yeah.
For real.
For tornado
the
victims.
The Hogs are coming down to Valonia?
Open get practice. Right. Maybe you can shoot against one of the guys. In a contest.
What?
I wouldn't try to do a dunk contest.
No, I don't need. I don't need to find a way to include myself in it. I just want to see it.
You gonna get excited and meet the guys? You get an autograph?
Oh yeah, I'd like Coach A's autograph.
Bobby Portis.
I'm sure.
Lottery pick.
I'm sure we can arrange for that.
Bobby lottery pick Portis.
You think so?
Is that his name now?
After this year, yeah.
Freddy Krueger, one of the most scary,
certainly memorable if you're around our age.
Halloween
no doubt.
Villains of all time, for sure. We are joined now by Robert Englund, who of course played Freddy Krueger. Robert Barton Englund.
Trick or treat!
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, you guys. Good morning.
You're scaring the crap out of me right now. I got to be honest.
No, it's all right. I've been declawed.
Good to know. You know, we were going back through some clips, getting ready to visit with you today. Do you have a favorite one-liner from the movies?
Well, I have a couple. I'm not sure I can say them all, but
can you paraphrase?
Know, the newest one that is very popular is I think that there's a line from Freddy versus Jason that the fans like, where he says, "Don't worry, princess. The first time tends to get a little messy."
Oh, yeah.
How long did it take to get that makeup, all that, on each time?
It's about 3.5 hours to be camera ready for a close-up. That usually entails getting the teeth in and sometimes contact lenses, which I can't put on myself because I've got makeup on my hands, I've got a claw on my hands, and the prosthetics go right up to my eyes. And if I'm doing it, I get my eyeballs all dirty with that, all the goop that they've got on me and the makeup and the coloring. But, you know, compared to when I did Phantom of the Opera, I think that was about a four and a half hour makeup because it involved makeup over makeup, and I had a long, flowing kind of Beethoven wig on. And I did a Stephen King movie called The Mangler, and that was a real extreme age makeup. I was very, very old in that, and they used prosthetics, but also they would stretch my skin and stipple it and then let my skin snap back to look really old and wrinkled. And that would have to, those edges would have to match up with the edges of the false nose or the false old throat. And that was a real tricky one too. And that one was really hard to get off. That would take me about an hour and a half to get off.
Growing up, were
you... That was probably 4.5 to 5 hours, and then another hour and a half to get off.
Growing up, were you a big... were you real into Halloween? Did you dress up every year? If so, what kinds of things did you dress up as a kid?
Oh, well, I there's one I remember that's just horrible. My parents dressed me as Fidel Castro one year. They sent me out, you know, in camouflage and a little revolutionary hat, you know.
No way.
And a fake beard that itched. That was a bad one. That was a low mark on Halloween for me.
That is funny.
I looked like a mini-me Fidel Castro.
Did you like scaring people when you were younger? I mean, is that something that came naturally to you?
Well, I remember, you know, I was a decent athlete and, you know, as a gymnast and a swimming champion. And so I got to hang out with the older boys a bit. And I do remember, you know, playing some pretty good tricks on somebody. But I was in a little jazz band when I was very, very young. And the kid that played the drums in it, Randy Epstein, I'll never forget, Randy Epstein. He was like some kind of genius. He eventually worked on a lot of the big special effect TV shows of the late 60s and early 70s, Time Travelers and shows like that. And he actually had his own robot on the roof of his house. He had that really worked, that would come down to the edge of the roof and bend over and scare the kids. So I do remember that. I mean, that was pretty amazing back then. You know, this would have been in the 60s.
Robert England joining us on the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline.
I'm looking at Nightmare on Elm Street came out in 1984, and I didn't realize this. Of course, getting caught up and everything. By 1989, the fifth one had come out. And thinking about it now, how difficult was that to do five of them in that span of 5 years?
Well, not only did I do five of those, but I starred in two other television series. I did V, and then I did a series in 1986 with Mariska Hargitay, the star of Law and Order Special Victims Unit. Mm-hmm. So I was doing other stuff, too. I barely got through part four. I remember being out in this junkyard doing part four, and the director, it was the first time we used video assist, and he'd done a rough cut on the junkyard sequence, and I was drinking my cup of soup and wrapped in a blanket, and it was like 4 a.m, and he showed me the rough cut, and that sort of gave me, it was so great, it gave me a burst of energy, and I was able to finish the movie. But I'd done a movie called Ford Fairlane, with Dice Clay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Billy Idol had dropped his Harley Davidson somewhere on Sunset Boulevard and broke his wrist, so I had to replace Billy Idol on that. And I was so exhausted at the end of that. I was exhausted at the beginning of it, and I was exhausted at the end. And then I went right into Nightmare on Elm Street Part 5, The Dream Child, and that was, you know, directed by the great Stephen Hopkins, who's producing Shameless now. But the only reason I did that show was I went out for Thai food with him, and he was doodling on a napkin the storyboards for the movie, and he was so good. You know, his little cartooning was so great. I just knew the movie was going to look cool. So I said yes, and I sucked it up, and I think I was living on... we didn't have Red Bull then. I think it was Jolt Cola that we all drank to get through the movie.
I think it's illegal now, isn't it?
Joe Cola?
Joe Cola. I tell you right now, I could feel my teeth growing when I drank that stuff.
I want to ask you about V. That was a show that I actually, as a kid, was totally hooked on. I was like 9 years old, and you know, your mind runs wild at that age anyway. But it seems that it has had more of a lasting impression than maybe people would have anticipated. Do you still get a lot of comments about that? And what do you think is the lasting impression?
Yeah, and it depends. Like, some countries really embraced it more. Like, it's huge in Japan and Scandinavia still.
Wow.
And now it's on Sci-Fi Channel in the mornings, so I think I'm getting a lot of younger kids are watching it, which is, you know, and they can kind of binge it, which is fun. It's kind of fun to watch, you know, the whole miniseries at once, or the first three or four shows of the series at once, because you really get into the subplots that better that way.
I guess I was just sort of a dirty-minded little kid, but I was always thinking, God, this is such a hot broad. I can't believe she's a lizard. I mean, you know.
I know that lizard. That Jane Badler was the hot lizard lady, the blonde one.
Yeah,
I
that's
had a crush
thing.
On the blonde girl, June Shadwick. She was in Spinal Tap. She's the sort of Yoko Ono biatch in Spinal Tap. She was hot.
I love it. So what are you working on now? I saw you got a couple projects that are either coming out or about or already out.
Yeah, well, I got a Halloween present for everybody. You know, if you got On Demand or you've got iTunes, you can go, right now you can watch the last showing, which I did last summer. I shot this movie in England last summer, starring with Finn Jones, who you guys would know from the Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. He's great. Mm-hmm. He's kind of like the new Heath Ledger, Orlando Bloom guy. He's really wonderful. And I play the old suburban mall cinema projectionist, and I've been fired, and I have to finish off my work days before I retire in the concession stand shoveling popcorn to pimply teenagers, and they put me in this little sad pathetic paper hat and a little day-glow orange vest, and I decide to have my revenge, so I volunteer to work the midnight movie shift, and I make my own horror movie using my Radio Shack, you know, GoPro camera and the existing closed-circuit television cameras, and I lock down the theater, and I take this unsuspecting couple, and I make my own horror movie, and I have my revenge. It's called The Last Showing, which is the English way of saying the last screening, you know. And I'm really proud of it. It's like maybe the best thing I've done in 20 years. So I'm urging all my fans to check it out.
One of our...
ultimate revenge.
Yes, it is. He's not going to take it anymore. He's fed up. Jeff says, ask him about his movie 2001 Maniac, super gory flick. Is that the goriest movie you ever did?
Oh, The South Will Rising. Well, that's sort of a comedy horror. It's, okay. The director calls it splat stick, as opposed to slapstick. But yeah, it that's sort of comedy horror, and it's based on an old 70s, really early famous cult classic, which is called 2000 Maniacs. And it's a town in the South that got mowed over by Sherman on his march to the sea in Georgia. And we were wrong, and we resurrect like zombies, you
know, my gosh.
Once every 10 years.
Sure.
We have our revenge, and in our version, we have our revenge on all the guys that are cutting through the back roads on their way to spring break.
2003, you took on Jason. Is there another Halloween star that you would like to face off against in a movie?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Chucky. I'd like to kick that guy.
Oh, yes.
Let me ask you about Freddy Krueger.
It's getting a lot closer to, you know, I'm getting old now. It's a lot closer to being Freddy versus Viagra.
Is that what's ultimately going to take down Freddy Krueger? Freddy Krueger, is there any villain out there ever that he would be afraid of?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm trying to think, you know, because once somebody falls asleep, I've got the upper hand, although Jason did kick me around pretty good 10 years ago. I don't know. I think Freddy can hold his own as long as that person falls asleep. Now, you know, even with like certain, you know, vampires or like super vampires like are on The Strain now, they have to sleep. You know, they all get in their coffin, you know, for a couple hours, and that's when Freddy gets into their head and can really manipulate them.
I know we're up against our window here, but I want to ask real quick. I saw in your bio, and I don't know if this is true or not, that you were close or at least interested in being involved in Star Wars, and you're friends with Mark Hamill. Is that true?
No, what happened is that's that internet thing. That
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Because they're not supposed to. They don't do fact checking. No, I was up for The Surfer. I'm an old surfer, and I was up for The Surfer in Apocalypse Now. And I went on the interview, and I was, you know, I was buff and 170 pounds of muscle, and in my skin tight skinny jean green Levi's, and I got an old thrift shop army shirt on, and my work boots, and I was too old for The Surfer in Apocalypse Now, and I wanted to read for the cook, but I think they already cast Freddie Forrest, the great Freddie Forrest. I might have been too young, but the way I looked, they sent me across the hall for Star Wars. The same people were all, you know, working together. Coppola knew Lucas. They had gone to school together at USC, so I went across the hall to be seen for Han Solo. Well, turned out I was way too young for Han Solo. At that time, they wanted Tom Selleck for Han Solo. They thought he was, you know, he should be older, like an older uncle for Luke Skywalker, a cool older uncle. And I went in, so they said I think they put me on tape, but they knew I was too young. But I saw the script, and I saw the sides for Luke Skywalker. So I got in my car, and I went back to my little apartment in the Hollywood Hills, and went in, and on my couch, Mark Hamill was there halfway through a six-pack of Heineken. I think he was watching the old Bob Newhart show. And I told Mark, I said, you know, Mark, this sounds right for you, you know, this Luke Skywalker. And he got on the phone to his agent, and he got in there, I think, the next day, and he nailed it. He nailed it down in the rest of the
How about that? So you're the one that got him in the movie. That's crazy.
Well, Well, I didn't get it. He got himself.
Well, but if you hadn't told him about it,
yeah. Yeah, but yeah, I gave him a heads up. You know, we both loved. You have to understand, back in those days, we idolized George Lucas because our idea of the perfect movie was American Graffiti. We just loved that movie so much. And so we were, and Mark was really excited to get in on that interview because he was a big TV star back then. I was the movie actor, and he was the TV star back then. And so he got in for Star Wars and nailed it, just sewed it up.
That was crazy.
He's working on the new one right now, right as we speak, I think.
Yeah, we've been following the progress on that one. Well, listen, Robert, we appreciate the time very much. Have a great Halloween, and thanks for all your work on all your different projects, and we'll look for the new one ASAP.
Thanks, Robert.
Yeah, check out Last Showing. It's on right now.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Very good. Thanks, Robert.
Bye-bye. Is that how he says it?
I think so.
I wonder if that dude knows how many nightmares he's caused.
I think he probably has some idea. We are up against the break, but I want to get Brian in here. I'm sorry we had to